sign not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can. Now, it won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning, 251-343-0106. Time permitting, I'll get to whatever text messages are remaining on the roster here. Joining us now, he's our returning champion. We do this every Friday about this time, but State Senator Chris Elliott, my state senator, joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. Glad to be back in Baldwin County and not in Montgomery like we were yesterday. So always good to be here for the weekend.
Any happenings on contract review?
A little drama related to prison lawyers, corrections lawyers. Representative England is understandably upset about some cost of litigation and then the bankruptcy of that. That medical provider that he correctly pointed out when we entered into the contract was going bankrupt as we entered into the contract. And then we were not surprised when they went bankrupt.
So why did we enter into that contract?
I believe initially there was a lot of dust up about it, but at the end of the day, they met the terms of the RFP and were the low bidder. And so the Department of Corrections selected them, even though they were starting to go bankrupt in other states. And that's something we probably need to look at in our bid law. There were also some funds paid to them that did not get used for the purpose they were stated. And Representative England, I certainly don't want to speak with him, but his point was that that was, that's fraud. It's criminal deception and that we ought to prosecute them. And I think we're probably headed in that direction.
Yeah, it's a matter of changing the bid laws so that if you're going bankrupt in another state, you're not eligible to participate.
Probably not a qualified bidder at that point.
Yeah, well, fair enough. All right, well, the question on everybody's mind, the new bridge proposal here. Walk us through it. Tell us what we need to know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the details that are out are probably, pretty widely known, and I'm not sure I'm going to shed a whole lot of light on that. The process from here is that the MPOs have got to consider that, what ALDOT has proposed at this point and whether or not to keep that on the Transportation Improvement Plan. If you'll recall, last time this kind of blew up, the MPOs decided that the toll structure that was presented by the governor and ALDOT was not acceptable. And so they used their authority to remove the project from the Transportation Improvement Plan, and it stopped the project in its tracks. Subsequently, the State Department of Transportation came back, asked the MPOs to put it back on the STIP with some caveats, right? And that was a pretty hefty, we'll call it a frequent user discount, right? A monthly fee that allowed almost unlimited, traffic, and then a cap of $250 toll, and that was with this transponder, right? The Algo Pass, and so that data's changed a little bit. The new proposal from ALDOT has it going essentially from $250 to $3. And so the question is going to be whether or not that's enough of a change from what, was told to the MPOs previously to warrant them blowing up the plan again. And honestly, I don't see that happening. I've heard comments from the MPOs and comments from leaders on both sides of the bay, and I just don't see that that's something they're going to blow the whole plan up over. Interesting. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, as I say, I know there's a lot of details to be ironed out here, but what's to kind of keep this from getting, for whatever reason, the toll increasing at some point, or they tack on some kind of fees like they did at the wharf? Now, that was a private bridge, a separate set of circumstances, but the toll by plate thing and there's a lot of little things here that I'm not convinced are enough to protect the consumer.
I don't have all the details on it, and there are a lot of nuances that will still have to be decided and rules that will have to be promulgated by the State Department of Transportation. I know back in 2019, this is, 7 years ago, there was a bill passed by the legislature. I believe Senator Sessions sponsored it, that kind of put some collection fees on, if you didn't pay the toll. There were some fines and fees associated with that, up to and including, not re-registering your vehicle if you didn't pay those fees. And so, that's more from an out-of-state standpoint, right, to make sure that our friends from Louisiana and Texas and Mississippi, that are coming to the beach or just passing through, actually help offset a lot of the cost of this toll. So we'll see, what the details are on that and what those, those rules that get promulgated are. But it seems that this is exactly what you and I have talked about for a number of years now, and that is that the project needed to be de-scoped, right? And I said that, again, probably 4+ years ago. We need to change the size of this project. And that's really what the Trump administration has brought to this project, is a relaxation of a lot of the Obama and Biden requirements that got us to this ballooning cost. And so this project, if we did the full Bayway replacement and everything else that the former federal administrations were going to require, would have probably cost twice as much. And so that was just an insurmountable amount of money that was never going to work for the state of Alabama and certainly for our region. And so the Trump administration, that's why you hear Coach Tuberville and Senator Britt really, really crowing about the administration, is they were able to essentially reduce the cost of this project almost by half simply by relaxing a lot of the federal regulations.
Well, and so, I mean, I guess the timing here and the urgency has a lot to do with the availability of the federal funds and just the idea that we needed to move here, or those are going to evaporate.
There is some urgency with the infra grant funds to get moving on those. And again, I've seen a lot of chatter online about, the Biden administration and IIJA was the only one that's really provided any funds for this bridge. And listen, there's no way to say, hey, they didn't provide, the feds didn't provide through IIJA, about $500 million for this bridge. But it's also, I think, not well informed to not understand that the Trump administration probably cut $3 billion worth of cost out of this by not making us do all kinds of other things that are frankly probably necessary or not, are not something that the state of Alabama was ever going to afford. And so I think it's important to look at both sides of that.
Well, how much lower would that toll have been if we had to build a $1 billion West Alabama corridor?
there are transportation projects all around this state that compete for the funds. And I know on your show, you talked about a lot of them, whether that's the North Alabama, the Northern Bypass in Jefferson, Shelby County, or improvements on 565 in the Huntsville area, or the West Alabama corridor. And so, if we spent nothing but money in South Alabama, then would we have to pay a toll? Probably not. But is that realistic? No, of course not. The Northern Beltline is, of course, a much different project from the funding standpoint. Senator Shelby was successful in getting it designated to receive 100% federal funding. And so that's just because they have availability to those Appalachian funds. And as much as I'd like for the Appalachian funds to come all the way down to coastal Alabama, I don't want a lot of our funding that we get that's specialized to us going north. So that's the nature of the beast.
Is this do we think this will be permanent, or will we, eventually the financing will be paid? Would the toll go away?
It is my understanding that this toll will pay for up to 49%. Again, another Senator Shelby victory, up to 49% of the project. And it's important to note that the rest of that project cost will have to come through infra grant or funding from the state. So we're still talking about, up above $1 billion coming from the state, which is a huge amount of money. So that's an important thing. And then that toll revenue may help finance the second phase of this project, which is the replacement of the Bayway and elevation of the Bayway. I think the other thing to note is that this Bayway still has useful life in it, right? People are driving on it every day. And if we can get another 15, 20 years out of this Bayway, by goodness, let's do it. It's taken us this long to get here. Let's get all the useful life out of that infrastructure that we can before we abandon it, tear it down, and at least, you know, utilize it while we can. So I think that the likelihood that toll sticks around practically for you and I for the rest of our lives is probably pretty good. But the good news is, I do think we'll see a bridge in 5 years.
Well, talk about the de-scoping aspects of it. And, you know, the first iteration, it was the Mac Daddy of all bridges. It was big enough, or was high enough, or the Bayway was going to be high enough for a 1,000-year flood. The river bridge was going to be tall enough for the biggest cruise ship in the world. Is that still in play here?
The EIS, the Environmental Impact Statement, really governs what has to be done in this process. And it took so long to get through that federal process that the State Department of Transportation was very reticent to change a lot of those parameters. So the bridge height is set where it was set before, and it will be built at that height. The second phase, and it's important to note, we're not talking about two projects. We're talking about the second phase, will be that elevated Bayway and widened Bayway. But that will likely happen much further in the future, down the road. And so the parameters laid out in that original EIS, to my understanding, have not changed.
So we're getting the bridge of all bridges still. I mean, are people worried about the backlash here? This is a higher toll. I don't know what's changed other than you could do some things to ease the burden on local residents here. But in general, it seems a lot like the same thing that got rejected in 2019.
Well, I think you've got some better controls over the toll amount, right? And that's set. You've got this frequent user, unlimited user amount and discount for locals, and then the algo price is a significant reduction. I expect everybody around here to get that algo pass and pay the $3. I don't expect everybody to pay the $60. I mean, Jeff, I probably go to Mobile 4 to 5 times a year. It's just not a place. I don't have to go there a lot, and I don't go. I know I'll go to Montgomery almost every week, but that's not a direction I go very often. And so I'll probably be the guy that's got that $3 pass. But do I think there's going to be some pushback? Yes, of course. People, recoil at the thought of tolls, and they don't like it at all. But I think that the MPOs on both sides of the bay, and they really are the ones that hold the power to check this process, as they demonstrated before, resigned themselves some years ago that some toll was going to be necessary to move the project ahead. And that from a funding standpoint, this thing is going to cost as much as the entire general fund budget for the state of Alabama. And so, I think those MPOs looked at that and said, we're gonna have to do this. And this cost is very similar. It is not increased very much from what they approved and said yes to some years ago. And so I think that while some may recoil at the concept of a toll, I think the MPOs are likely to keep it on the step and keep it moving forward.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, like last time, it was grassroots. It kind of boiled up, and I mean, you found yourself in a tough spot where you initially supported it. Then they changed a bunch of things. And so right. The question, I guess, is like if they were willing to do that, and now we're going to have a different governor. Maybe it's just a totally different set of circumstances. But, like, there's still that possibility where this won't be enough. This was not going to beat these benchmarks. I guess the question is there any kind of wish casting, any rosy thinking here behind this proposal?
I don't think so. And again, I don't have all of the details. This is not a, it's important for you and your listeners to know this is not a decision that I've come to, right? Or the legislature has come to. This is largely a governor decision and an ALDOT director decision that, again, requires the assent of the MPOs. But again, I think that when you start looking at the long-term financing for the TIFIA portion of this capital stack, that's the federal loan that will be paid back with the tolls. I think that, you know, that math, right, the actuarial math on that is going to be so conservative that it's going to cover the debt service on that note. And then when it's done, it's gone, and the toll will go to essentially to fund the second phase of the project at that point.
Well, why not wait till we get a new ALDOT director, new governor? I mean, is the timing that urgent that we have to rely on, I think, someone that's betrayed the public trust on a number of levels? And here we are on the way out the door, putting our faith in this governor and her ALDOT director, who I think has overstayed his welcome by years, and just trust us, everything's going to be okay.
I do think the time is of the essence as it related to the federal infra grant money that was already there and other federal appropriations. And so I think that we needed to move forward with this in order to keep from losing that money. And so I think that's why the governor and the director have moved with the speed that they have. You're correct. It's going to be under the wire. I mean, this governor is done in January of next year, and you're likely to see a ribbon cutting and an announcement, and things, you know, have already started being signed. But before the end of her term, she's wanted to do this for a long time. And Jeff, like her or not, when this governor gets something on her mind, she is a force, and she's been routinely elected overwhelmingly by the people of the state of Alabama. And this is what she's going to do.
And we should talk about this all the time. Is she the one calling the shots here? I mean, I like I said, there's a lot of reasons to be skeptical of this and what this governor's doing as a lame duck on her way out. And we have questions about her health and how aware is she? I mean, is she really the one making this call here? And why, you know, it's a big ask, I think, of the public to go along with this.
I understand where you're coming from. I'm not sure how germane, you know, the governor and her health and her longevity and whatever else is to a project that's been going on for decades and decades. But, you know, those are all questions I'll let you and your listeners debate. But at the end of the day, I do think overall it is a positive step for the region to have this kind of infrastructure investment made in our region in an area that critically needs it. Do I love the financing method? No. Do I wish there was more, you know, state involvement or federal involvement specifically? Yes, of course. But do I think this is a reasonable path forward? I do. And I think that most local leaders agree with that. You've seen that so far that have really been around this project for a long time. It's easy to do nothing. It is harder to do something, and it's really hard to do something big. And this is something big.
Senator, we always appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for hopping on.
You got it, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Say Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion here on the line. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Spend my dollar, park in a holler, neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight, make a little loving, a little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life. Oh, so right, my Dixie.